What? We on, motherfucker? We on, motherfuckers? Oh, shit. Oh, motherfucking shit. Wednesday, December 19th, 2012. We got two more days of kicking it. The Church of What's Happening Now. Joey Coco Diaz, the main man, Lee Syatt, a.k.a. the Flying Jew. A little Freddy's Dead for the black people out there. Let's do this. Oh, shit. Leroy Neckbone is probably fucking washing his black cock right now as we speak. You know what I'm saying? Putting powder on the other side of that motherfucker, on the other side of the table or something. Where's the music, Lee? It's Wednesday. Wake these motherfuckers up. They're laying there all discombobulated, figuring out what they're going to do today. It's Wednesday, motherfucker. Wash those nuts. Get out there. There's 2 days left. See if you get an advance on your paycheck, because the world's going to end Friday. You might as well spend it tomorrow night. Get fucked up, eat some ass, do what you got to do. Welcome. It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive. How you feeling, Lisa? You bad motherfucker, you?
I'm feeling fucking great. The last week of work is always a great week.
Tremendous. You're done. That's it for 10 fucking days. Did the Joe Rogan Experience yesterday. My man Red Band is watching today. I want to give him a shout out. If you got a minute, he's over at the casino tonight with Tiffany Haddish. It's a black room. Go out there. Bring a fucking emergency helmet. Just in case they fucking beat you up out there. Those black rooms are fucking crazy.
Oh, are they really?
But that's how you get better. Red Band knows the fucking deal. You gotta go out there and bang these motherfuckers out every day, man. I started in a black room in Denver in Club Mix. You know how the room ended? Because they shot somebody.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they fucking did.
Oh, my God.
Fucking yes, they did. That's how I met Cedric the Entertainer and the guy that died and all those black comics that are a little older. Mm-hmm. That's how I met those guys. I was an open micer on Sunday. The name of the club was Club Mix on East Colfax in Denver and shit. Nothing but black motherfuckers, pimps, and hookers. And I go there and they throw shit at the white comics. You know Kevin Fitzgerald, the veterinarian? He used to go. I used to go with him, the veterinarian on Discovery or whatever one of those channels in Denver.
Okay.
He's the one that turned me on to the room. They would throw shit at white people. And I'm the only one that would go up there and dance, right? Because when in Rome, I wouldn't talk, go up there and fucking dance. Freddy's dead. Da, da, da. You know, they all start wiggling with you. And the next thing you know, you got those motherfuckers. I talk about some black actor or something, and I get the fuck off stage.
Yeah, have you seen, I think it was Ken Jeong on BET, the doctor? He did, a little disco dance, and they went bananas.
They went nuts. Because now you're jiggling. You know, for 2,000 years, when black people went in front of us, they'd have to dance and do all that shit, like in the 50s.
Yeah.
When we go up in front of them, we got to do the same fucking thing. So that's why I told Red Band on the way out yesterday, I go, hey, motherfucker, when in Rome? When in Rome, fucking fuck him up and go out there and sling some dick. Because I had a great time last night with my other brother, Ari Shafir. He does a Storytellers.
That's a great show.
At the Improv once a month. It was a great fucking show. You know, it's funny because I swear to God, he called me. He goes, Diaz, I need you on Tuesday the 18th, whatever. You got to come up with a Christmas story. I ain't got no fucking Christmas stories. I really don't. I mean, I have one really good Christmas with my family, with my mother at the house when we were kids. And I remember Christmases, but they were like everybody else's Christmas. You go home, you open your fucking presents, and then you go to bed with your fucking pajamas on. Big fucking deal. The best Christmas story I had when I was I was a sophomore in high school or a junior. One of those. It was the sophomore year when I was really fucking crazy. And instead of going to school, what you did was, it was half a day on the 24th. Christmas Eve was 7 to 11.
Yeah.
Fuck going to school. We'd start the night before. We'd start drinking the night before, and we'd meet at 6. So instead of buying beer, I mean, we had the money to buy beer. We'd just rob a fucking beer truck. We'd go by Hudson County Park, and there was an AMP right there.
Uh-huh.
And we'd wait for the fucking truck to pull up. And then one of us would cross the street. We'd open up the fucking thing. And sometimes we robbed it by hand. The guy's not going to chase you. The guy's not going to change. So you take a case of quartz. Or sometimes we get a car, pull up to the truck, open it, and that's when you steal
a
couple.
That's the way to do it.
That's when they hold the back of your pants and you steal a couple fucking things. So it was like me, Richie Vanacek, Bob Banta, a bunch of savages. These were white fucking savages I grew up with. So we drank the thing. We got all fucked up. We would drink blackberry brandy. And I went to the Meadowlands Inn the night before, which was a strip club where they'd stick bananas and all that shit in their pussy.
Yeah.
But that night I went in there, it was an off night, a Wednesday night. I'll never forget, somebody was selling meth. This is when they called it speed. Speed. There wasn't no meth then. It was just speed. And I bought a half a gram of speed. And they gave it to me in this little, I'll never forget. And I remember taking it home and sniffing it, and the next morning doing a blast, like at 6 in the morning, and fucking drinking all morning, getting fucked up. And about 11:30, going in front of the high school, and we set up like a little fort, and we're throwing snowballs at each other, right? Bam, bam, you know, snowballs. In the East Coast, you take the snowballs and you dip them in the melting water.
Yes, so they freeze.
That fucking snowball becomes a rock of death. You understand me? So we're throwing the snowball, and for some reason, I look up, and out of the corner of my eye, on this side, I see a station wagon,
yeah,
which people don't know. They know SUVs and shit. A station wagon is a big car, and the guy driving it was a Santa Claus headed to one of those targets to ring the bell.
Oh my God. And
I hear the fucking snowball leave Richie Vanichuk was a hunter, one of those big Czechoslovakian motherfuckers, that he's been stabbing animals since he was like two. You know, he's one of those guys. He shot cats, he shot dogs as a kid, he shot people from his window.
Jesus.
He was just a hunter. I remember one time he put like a knife on a table and he would make you hit his hand, and then he'd take his hand, you'd stab yourself with the fucking knife. I mean, he was just crazy. So he threw a snowball, a low one inside, and this motherfucker curved. Like, he was one of those pitchers in Little League that would hit you with the ball. And today, people still walk up to you with that jiggly leg. Man, Richie Vanichuk fucked me up in 72. So, Richie Vanichuk, this snowball got away from him, and it hit. This guy was driving with his window open. You know, here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus right down Santa Claus Lane. Like, he's like a wasp thinking the world is beautiful.
Yeah.
He forgot about North Bergen, New Jersey. Well, they'll kill you with a fucking snowball. And this snowball came right in through the window and hit him. And I'll never forget, like, hearing the car go, and not even thinking about it. I don't give a fuck if the guy kills himself. Like, he almost lost control. He lost control and shit. And about 4, 5, 6 minutes later, I remember looking up, and I see this fucking Santa Claus running, with bleeding from his face, like the snowball had hit him, and he's running at us with, like, his Santa. We're like, what are we going to do? We could either run. No, let's stay here and fuck Santa up. And, like, 5 of us just started fucking punching on Santa. And I still remember Santa in the middle of, like, us. It was like when you see, like, an antelope, and you see, like, those little animals, hyenas around him, biting from him. We were just all pounding him. Bam, bam. He went down. The cops came by. They had us all up against the fence. And I'll never forget that. We're all up against the fence, and I look over, and there's Santa with his suit ripped. That was the end of my fucking...
Oh, my God.
What fucking Christmas you got? I got no Christmas stories, all right?
I love the idea of you getting hammered and doing speed, but then still going on having a snowball fight.
Oh, no, the speed makes you throw snowballs, you know what I'm saying? You're energetic. And this was like old school speed. This wasn't made from fucking like cough medicine and shit. This is when bikers were bikers, when they mixed like gasoline with fucking explosive juice and foot powder. This is when they fuck you up, Jack.
Gasoline and foot powder, Jesus. Yeah,
one of these cats took a shit in the cat litter box. It's horrendous. I don't know if it's you. Is it you, Fidel, cocksucker? You never know with these little shitters, man. They fucking shit. Their little shit smells terrible.
That's the one thing that is kind of weird about cats, is the shitting in the house. That's. I mean, I'm also allergic to them, but fucking.
You're not allergic here. These cats love you. These cats love you. They're clean cats. They don't fuck around. I clean my cats. I take them in the shower. I wash these motherfuckers.
It's crazy because I go to friends' houses when they have one or two cats, and I can't stay there for more than 20 minutes.
You got to brush the hair. You got to change the litter box 2-3 times a fucking day. I try to do it 1.5 times a day, to be honest with you. Sometimes I forget.
What's the half?
You pick up a couple pieces of shit when they're loose there. It's like a Puerto Rican spring cleaning. You know what I'm saying? You don't really commit to the bottom. You got to scrape the bottom. I'll tell you what, that shit gives me fucking characters, cleaning out that cat litter box. I don't even understand why. Again, let me tell you something. Today, after you leave, I'm going to probably take my wife there because my schedule's been weird now that she's pregnant. I can't do, like, today I got really nothing on the books. I was supposed to go to Ontario tonight, but I got to shoot something at 1 o'clock today. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And my wife don't want me straying too far. Tonight also was Gabriel Iglesias' yearly fucking Christmas party, which I don't know if you motherfuckers know how Gabriel Iglesias does it on Christmas. This motherfucker, he rents out the Taste of Texas.
What's that?
A restaurant in fucking like someplace in a Mexican restaurant. Okay. The one they used in fucking Collateral.
Oh, okay.
One of those Mexican type of restaurants that's just huge. It's not in Pico Rivera. Somebody hit me up the other day. They said they're one day shot in Pico Rivera. That's still open, the Ponderosa, whatever the fuck it is. Taste of Texas. He has a pool, a poker tournament.
Holy shit.
He has fucking, the place caters it. He has live mariachi bands. He has games. I mean, it's a fucking party. He's been doing it for like 8 years.
And he's a heavy drinker, right? Because
tequila.
I see on Twitter.
All those motherfuckers.
He goes every day. He posts like another picture of a bottle of Patron, and it's just like Jesus Christ. He has a funny web show out. It's called like
Very Funny
Damn TV or something.
Very funny. I'm gonna do the horoscopes or some shit.
Oh really?
I'm supposed to start doing the horoscopes in the new year. I hope he calls me up. I like hanging out with him. Tonight it's just 40 minutes each way. You know, and that's the thing I got tonight, especially if they want me to go to Ontario. So I got to put my day together. I got to call the Bam Brothers down in Ontario. These guys do a great fucking show. Cody and the Twins, they're great guys. If you live on that side of town, go see the fucking Bam Brothers. I love those guys.
Yeah.
I got that option. But do me a favor. I'm also going to kickboxing today. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. I'm really fucking impressed with the strong bone. I'm really fucking blown away. I can't believe that something... I mean, my knee pain is gone, like the little knee pains I had on my left leg. I know it's still there, but it's not like... I can work out, guys. And that's the most important thing at fucking 50, is that you're working out. Like I said to you, I might not lose weight over these fucking holidays, because I got to go to I got to go to like 2 Cuban parties this weekend, which sucks dick. Those Cubans make fucking flan with the condensed milk in it. There's no points on that. The points is fat fuck. That's the point. Fat fuck when you eat that. It's just a fat fuck alert. There's no... You know, there's nothing else there included. But, what does I say to you? Go to fucking Onnit. Go to Onnit. If you're having a hard time with your joints, you know, like I said, keep it light in the beginning. Swim at your fucking pool. Walk around in the warm pool, in the 4-foot pool. Walk in there for a while. Take the weight off your joints. Go in there, kick. Get a kicking board. And go in the fucking warm pool and just kick from side to side. 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 13 minutes, 18 minutes, and there you go. You got 20, 30 fucking minutes, and you're halfway fucking there. Your tits go away. Look, my titties are fucking going away. I used to have nice big fucking man titties with a little nipple on the end. That day is done, Lee Syatt, you bad motherfucker. What else is going on in your world? Talk to me. What is it? You're going home in 5 days. You can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait.
In 2 days, they're going to fart in your face. I talked to some people. We got it all mapped out. You know how many people came up to me last night at the Ari show and said they're going to be at the End of the World show, and part of it is because Lee Syatt. So what we're going to have to do is, after the show, we're going to take you outside when you're bleeding and shit, holding on to your face with an ice pack. Because this chick, she started eating like Monday, she told me.
Which one, the big one or the little one?
The little skinny one, which skinnier people fart. And she's going to scotch tape her asshole to make it even smaller, so it's like a mist coming on your face. You know what I'm saying? We're going to take good care of you, Lee. That's what we do around here. This ain't no fucking, this ain't no Michael Jackson, and this ain't Thriller. You know what I'm saying? One dumb rapper, I know I can hang. I went from Run DMC to Cool in the Gang. Put a little Run DMC for your fucking Uncle Joe here today. A little King of Rock. These motherfuckers don't know about King of Rock, Little Run DMC on Wednesday, December 19th. What do you got, 6 days? 5 more shoplifting days to Christmas, and you're fucking sitting there watching me on a podcast, you fucking momos. Get out there. Mug somebody. You know what December 19th was? I'm going to tell you a little fucking story. You got the King of Rock on for me lined up yet?
Yeah, it's be ready in 2 seconds.
I got fired 1 year from fucking this car dealer for beating up Eagle Eye. Fucking...
We got a call coming.
Oh shit! Who's this mystery man?
I'm very much, but Matt.
What's happening?
Hey, Bad Flavor.
Oh shit! It's my brother, direct from the fucking Jumping Jack Farm. I love it. Happy Merry Christmas to you and your family, Ralphie May. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. I'm here in Tennessee right now. I'm here with my daughter, April June May. She's got a message for you, Uncle Joey.
Hit me.
Hey, baby.
Uncle Joey.
Yeah, baby.
See me, cocksucker. Get together, motherfucker.
I love you, baby.
Get it together, motherfucker.
I love it. If your daughter's at home right now, that's how she needs to talk to you. A little girl telling you in the morning, get it together, motherfucker. That'll make a big difference in your life right there. That's motivation. Fuck Joey Diaz. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. She's all about it, man. She's all about it.
How you feeling, baby?
I'm doing good, man. We had a little trouble with her yesterday. This boy she was playing in the park, and she ninja kicked the boy yesterday in the balls, and
not really in the balls.
Not really in the balls.
We don't know if I kicked her in the balls.
Oh, we don't know. She's been taking karate, and she ninja kicked the son of a bitch in the balls, I think, or maybe in the head. I don't know. And he went crying like a puss. All right, he's like a 6-year-old boy. She's 5, and you know she's handling. So she's karate chopping over here for Jesus. All right, he's cleaning up the park for the little girls, and her mama called her a bully, and she was sulking all day. And I came in and I was like, good for you. You know, she's a soldier.
Hey, amen. That's the most important thing. When you got a little fucking princess. You gotta teach those motherfuckers to protect themselves, especially what we've seen in our lives. You know what I'm saying? At 1440, all the chicks we threw off the roofs and pulling hair and the Red Devil. So if you got a daughter, you gotta teach those little savages to protect themselves. By the time she's 10, she's like that fucking chick on the USA show, La Femme Nikita, throwing sidekicks and stabbing Puerto Ricans. That's what I want out of a little fucking girl.
Oh, I know.
Fucking little whore cheerleader jumping up and down. Rah, rah, rah. Get the fuck out of here. Get out there and stab these little cocksuckers in the heart. So how long are you going to take? You got 2 more weeks of working out, brother?
Yes, sir. Yesterday I did 8,500 meters on the rowing machine.
Okay.
And I did 500 crunches, and I worked out with dumbbells until my arms felt like rag dolls. And I tell you, I'm doing it, Coco. I'm sore all over.
I'm proud of you, brother. It's the beginning. You're gonna be a fucking lean, mean, slinging dick machine when they get through with you over there.
Oh, I know. Who knows? At the end of this, I might be hung. Who knows?
It's the best thing I did, man.
It's medium, so who knows? I might have a Cuban egg roll my damn self. You know?
Hey, brother, you could be a fat fuck, or you could be a healthy fat fuck. We got to make the call,
right?
You know what I'm saying? I could do a couple jumping jacks, throw a few sidekicks. I'm eating apples at night. I had a shit this morning before Lee came over. You know, shit's going on. I'm eating apples at night. They got me eating 3 of those fucking red apples at night just so in the morning everything comes out like normal. Business as usual. You don't go to bed hungry, you know what I'm saying? Because if it's not 3 apples, it's an In-N-Out burger. Am I bullshitting you?
Amen.
You know, so.
Yeah. It's better that than that garbage.
So you're there for the holidays, brother?
Yes, sir. Here through the 26th, and then we're going to
Stand Up Live in Tempe.
For Stand Up Live.
For New Year's Eve. That's my fucking boy and shit. Well, I'm happy you're doing your things. You did 8,500 meters, 22 jumping jacks, and you got a standing ovation, and you made out with 3 chicks. And that's all that matters to me at the end of the fucking week. You know what I'm saying?
Right on, buddy.
I love you, cocksucker. Have a great one. Give the baby a kiss. I love her, too, the little boy and your wife. And I'll give you a call before the holidays. I love you with all my heart. Say hello to Flying Julie.
Hey, Ralphie.
All right, man. I love you. She loves you, too, Joey.
I love you guys. All right, man. Stay black.
And good luck with that baby over there, man.
I'll call you as soon as I'm at the hospital fainting and shit. You know what I'm saying? Because you know I'm getting stitches this week. We're both getting stitches. She's getting stitches in the asshole, and I'm getting stitches on my chin, on my forehead, on my eyebrow. Something's going down, so I'm prepared.
They better have a hospital bed next to you. Oh, please.
A sleep apnea machine. I'm going to be rougher than her. I'm just preparing. Thank you very much for the present, brother. I love you with all my heart.
I love you.
Have
you
a great week.
You can't do nothing about it.
All right, don't forget about me, cocksucker.
I won't, cocksucker. I love you, baby.
Love you, man. Have a good
week. Bye, Coco.
Bye, buddy.
You have interesting timing. The song was about to play as he called.
Hit me. What song are we playing, Lee? A little fucking King of Rock. We got another call coming in a couple minutes. Hit me with a little King of Rock for Uncle Joey Lee. I'm hitting this fucking.
I'm the King of Rock. There is none higher. Sucker MCs should call me sire. To burn my kingdom, you must use fire. I won't stop rocking till I retire.
Hit it, Lee. All cuts are on time. What? You guys didn't know I was the Run DMC too and shit. Dance, Lee. Dance. Wiggle, bumble, joy, Lee. Hit a little something for Dick Syatt. What? Oh, shit. Oh shit. You never even heard this, Lee.
I heard this.
You didn't fucking hear this. Crank it for Uncle George. You don't want a duck. It's one dump. I know it. I come from the cuckoo. Roll to the rock, rock to the roll. What? Roll to the rock, rock to the roll. Who drops it like that? Huh? Nobody, cocksucker. The church of what's happening now coming at you. Wednesday, you motherless cocksuckers. We got my girl calling from Auntie Dolores's. We got a little caramel corn today. It's 120 grams of THC. You understand me?
And you tipped the bag up like it was a movie theater bag and had like the entire...
That's right.
That was full when he started it.
So what? It's fucking 8 in the morning. Get your shit together.
It's
what are
not,
you going
to do? It's 6:30 so
who gives a fuck? 8:30. It's fiber. Auntie Dolores caramel corn. Fucking tremendous. Sorry, I'm eating on camera. And then they come with these little bags, too. This little mint chocolate chip. You get 4 fucking wafers in here. I ate the whole bag one day. Oh, fuck. And that's it. That's how we do it, motherfuckers. Before this girl calls, somebody called. I got an interesting email at joeycocodiaz.net. You know, if you want to email me, you want to ask me a question, you want a fucking suggestion or something like that, just don't get carried away. Everybody's an executive producer all of a sudden. You guys living in Kentucky, you went to the school fucking dance, and you want to call me and tell me how to run my fucking business. You know what I'm saying? Get your shit together! Anyway, where was I, Lee?
I have no
idea. I don't fucking know. This fucking popcorn already goes to your head. It's got sugar in it, so it goes right to the fucking cranium.
Dr. Joey Diaz.
I'm telling you, why not? How are you going to start a Wednesday morning? Everybody always complains it's Wednesday. I got the hump day blue. Well, get it together, cocksucker. You got to start. You got to smoke your reefer. You got to do a few jumping jacks. Did I not have a protein powder?
You did.
When you came. I always have a fucking hemp force in the morning. Get me going.
It's funny, but you say that for every day. How are you not going to start your Monday with all this weed? How are you not going to start your Wednesday?
You got to prepare before. Listen, before you paint the house, correct? You tape the fucking things. You fucking spackle. You sand it down. You tape the joints. You clean the floor. You drop a cloth. You're in preparation. So how are you not going to prepare for your day? How the fuck do you get up in the morning and just get up and put coffee on like a fucking schmutz? You got to get up. You got to wash your little pussy. You got to powder yourself while you're in the shower thinking. You're thinking of your fucking moves throughout the day. I got to go to the bank. I got to do this. I got to do that. You're thinking of your fucking moves. So when you come out, you open up your notebook. Ba-ba-ba-boom. You put your notes down for your day, your goals for the day. I want to do this. If you look at my notebook for the day today, I got nothing, but I'll tell you where I'm going to be at a certain fucking time. You know, you think of your day. Before you leave the house, you hit that fucking bong to correct your head. You know, like Joe Rogan said on the podcast yesterday. It makes you look at it. Reality coming at you. When you go out there fucking high, you see it from every move. Or you're a fucking dunce. You sit and walk around like this waiting for fucking... You know, you can get high for 2 reasons. Sit on the couch and scratch your ass and play fucking Gamefly or whatever the fuck it is that you do. Or you get high and double your fucking high pleasure. Get out there. Make it work for you. You know, you case a fucking house. If you case it and you're fucking straight, right, and you're looking at the house, but if you smoke a joint, you're like, ooh, maybe I go around the back. Maybe I helicopter off a fucking helicopter and through the fucking, what is that called over there?
The door?
Yeah, whatever. The fucking, the door. No burglar goes into the door. Get it together, Lee cocksucker. You got me over here solo smoking the vapor pipe.
No, but the amount of high you get, I would be under my covers freaking out.
What high? This is just a little something to get. Eat some popcorn, Lee. That's a problem. Get some popcorn. Just a little piece. What the fuck? You're going to have a chick farting in your face on Wednesday. You got to prepare. You got to start today. You got to shave. You got to put cream on your face. You got to pluck your little fucking eyebrows. You don't want that fart getting caught in your eyebrow hair. You don't need that shit. Eat it. He eats it like...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's fucking really good. This is really... Bro, this is caramel. It tastes like caramel corn. This is delicious. You could go to a movie theater, start eating this shit, and by halfway in the movie theater, you're in a coma. You don't want the movie to end. You're like, I wish this is a Tarantino movie.
Oh,
it never ends.
Strong at the end.
Oh, yeah. It's got some way. You got to eat one of these, too. There's the Jingle Bell shit right here. This is what it's all about. There's the chalk. And what's crazy is Weight Watchers. When you go to a Weight Watchers meeting... they usually have these mint chocolate chip squares. Like, they're 2 points a piece.
Yeah.
And they're selling, like, they're always 50% off or something. They're delicious. These taste just the same. I don't think they're not for fat people. I think this guy has egg in it and a bunch of shit. But, yeah, I met Auntie Dolores at Divine Wellness. And for you people, like I told you last week, if you go to Divine Wellness and buy a chocolate or one of these Auntie Dolores's, they give you, tell them Uncle Joey sent you, they give you a commemorative Uncle Joey Beauty and the Beast t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And there and at NoHo Organic. So get down there today. What are you looking at me for? You go, you buy some Auntie Dolores fucking popcorn, caramel corn. You want some more?
No.
Have some more. This is good shit. Get a little more. One more piece. Jesus, it's good Christ. For the soul. This will get your fucking wing going.
I'm not going to go to work tonight.
Ah, who can? You're worried about 7 o'clock tonight. You know how many things could happen before you got...
Yeah, I'm gonna pass out on your couch and freak out for 4 hours and...
Oh shit,
you spilled the cocksucker. Oh no, the cats are gonna eat my fucking popcorn. You fucking schmutz here, what am I gonna do with you?
I didn't spill it.
Yes, you did. Look at it. Cocksucker, now the cats are gonna eat it. Fucking my Harry's gonna walk around all cockeyed. He's got one eye that's cockeyed already. That fucking schmutz, what's this girl want here? I love you too, Adolin Cambers. Let me give some shout outs today. Ooh. To the fucking soldiers, my man Tarek, my man Justin Delgado, as usual, Mac Hard, my little lesbian making videos. I love her with that little lesbo pussy. She pounds that fucking thing.
I think we got the weed.
All right. Good morning, my love.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you? This fucking guy just spilt the Auntie Dolores fucking caramel corn. He went to give it back to me. We're eating caramel corn already, getting the day started the right way. You understand me? I told you I didn't fuck around. What time do you have? 6:35 in the a.m. And we're all reading. Good morning, my love. Address yourself. Tell these beautiful people who you are.
My name's Juliana, and I'm the founder of Auntie Dolores Co-op.
Oh shit! Oh shit! And we met at Divine Wellness a couple of weeks ago when you were doing like a product introduction thing.
We were doing demos down in SoCal, trying to hit up some of the clubs down there. We do a lot of that up north, and we're just starting to do more down south. So, yeah, I met you at Divine. Great shop. Love those guys. And, there's quite a few shops down there that carry our products, and apparently you've hit every one of them.
Oh, you know I'm a professional. I don't fuck around. But it was Ari. It was Flying Jew number two. My other buddy, Ari Shafir, who kept telling me, you know, and I don't read the thing. I can't see. I can't, you know, I'm 49 years old, Juliana Auntie Dolores, so I can't fucking see. So, you know, the first time I tried your products, it was at Kushmart. They had the peanuts, the spicy peanuts. Uh-huh. And in fact, it was Felipe Esparza, the guy who won Last Comic Standing last year, who told me about the peanuts first. And then Ari, it was Felipe who won and said, bro, these fucking peanuts, bro, they're pretty good. So I remember I had the peanuts or the spicy mix or whatever. And then and then Ari had something at the one across the street from Rouse. They have like a little store there. And that's where he goes. So when I bumped into you that night, I was like, wow, what a coincidence. Ari was just talking about these. And then you gave me the card. And now tell us a little bit about your products and what you put in them beside love.
Well, as you can probably tell, a lot of the ingredients are, you know, they're very strong flavors. So we try to find ingredients that are going to mask the flavor of the cannabis because cannabis tastes nasty, right? So, but then our extracts are really strong. So we only need to use a little bit to make the product strong. And then the other flavors that are included are helping to mask the flavor of the cannabis, but you still get the effects of it. So that's kind of the thinking behind all of our recipes and all the development of our products is just high potency, great flavor. You know, we got something for everybody. Not everybody likes the chili lime peanuts, but they might prefer the cracker or they might prefer the sweet stuff. Everybody's got, you know, different taste buds. So we try to find something that appeals to everybody.
And the thing I really like about your product is that it'll tell you, you know, sometimes you go in, you get a cookie, you know, you have an appointment, you got to go to church. You don't know how fucking strong that cookie is. You know, yeah. You have no idea how strong that cookie is. With your products, you have at least a ballpark, like the caramel corn. It's 120 now. Yeah. Is that 120 milligrams for the whole bag?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck it. Yeah. I'm behind. I got to eat some more. You know what I'm saying? No. I'm just teasing.
Yeah, that's a lot of medicine. But
that's a lot of medicine.
The nice thing about you know, you can just eat as much as you want. If you don't want to eat the whole bag, save it for later, you know?
Like Lee, he fucking dropped my bag. Not a lot of it fell, just a little bit. He's lucky I love him. And he's lucky it's Hanukkah and shit like that.
There's like two kernels left in the bag, and I maybe dropped one.
Two kernels. Look at the fucking floor, cocksucker. You know, he dropped those little buds, the little good ones. Yeah.
That might be enough for somebody.
And now one of my cats going to eat it, and he's going to be fucked up. You know, I don't care if my cats get high. I give them super high catnip. You guys make catnip? That's your next product. We're going into business together.
We do doggy treats. I have made doggy treats. I made CBD-rich doggy treats for my pit bull before he passed away, but yeah, we've got a lot of great stuff, and I want to develop more products. We're hoping to come out with a CBD rich product for patients in California. That's our next that's our next development right there.
So you run all through Northern California, all the way through the state. That's what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah, we work with dispensaries all over California. But we're based up in Northern California.
And we were talking yesterday on the phone because people always will hit me up on the email and say, hey, man, how can I get edibles? I'm in Michigan. You know, even though Michigan, Seattle, Denver, all these other states, you're allowed to have medical marijuana. Your products do not sell there, correct?
No, we can't really. We'd have to go there and set up.
Shop and business licenses. And
organization to do business there. So unfortunately, it's a lot. There's a lot more red tape involved than you would think.
No, I could just imagine. You know what's funny that we also spoke about yesterday that I got to compliment you on. That I got my card maybe 7 years ago, 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And in that time, you know, every time I go to a dispensary, it's always try something different, an ice cream. And you see products come and go. And I got to tell you, I've been living in the Valley for 3 years, so I haven't lived in Hollywood for 3 years. And you guys been around a while.
Yeah.
How many years now?
Well, we've been... we kind of got in right at the perfect time, I think, because things have changed so drastically in the last 3-4 years, and so I mean, I really feel like we got into it at the right moment. I've seen numerous companies come and go, like you said. It's just an incredibly challenging industry to operate in. We have challenges in terms of like how to survive as a business. The challenges that we face are like way more extreme than any other industry. So I think it's just really hard for businesses to survive, and it's taken us a good 3 years just to kind of, operate in a way that we can continue going, I'm able to give out Christmas bonuses this year, so it's tough, it's a tough industry, but it's getting better, it's definitely getting better, and it helps that we've got a really consistent product, and that's because all of our processes are very very consistent, very specific. I mean, we do the same thing every week. We don't change it. Once we get our recipes locked down, and that's just not just the flavors, but the potency and all that. Once we have it locked down, it's like set in stone. So there's no varying from that. And sometimes I have people work in the kitchen, and they come from food backgrounds, they work in restaurants or they work as a chef here or there, and they want to get all creative. There's not a whole lot of room for creativity with this job, because if you work as a cook in our kitchen, you have to do everything the same way every day, week after week. And so in that sense, we were able to create a really consistent product. But like I said, it's not exactly like the most creative job for somebody who's got a food background, because it's all the same. Every single recipe is exactly the same, day in, day out.
How did you come up with the idea to start the company? What made you, what pushed you in the direction?
Well, you know, the economy started to tank a few years ago, and I was a bookkeeper before. I did bookkeeping for nonprofits, and I was just starting to lose clients left and right. And I have a kid, so I was like, I need to figure out how to support myself and my daughter. And I started selling my products to some clubs up in San Francisco. Not been doing this for over 10 years, but
on
I
your own,
just
on
you know,
your own.
Help. What's that?
You were doing this over 10 years, just on your own.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been cooking with cannabis. I mean, I grew up in, you know, the San Francisco Bay Area. It's like, it's not hard to get your hands on good weed, okay? So, I mean, I've been cooking with this stuff forever, but I just never thought there was, you know, actually a business in it. And then I started working with some dispensaries in San Francisco, and it just, I mean, immediately took off. It was, like, incredible. So, you know, within, like, probably about 2 or 3 months, one of our best dispensaries in San Francisco was selling, like, 500 brownies a week of ours. And so I thought, well, shit, I'm going to fucking throw away my day job and move into this, because, like, why would I sit here and crunch numbers for nonprofits when I can, like, go and, like, you know, help people with medical cannabis and start this company and see what happens, you know? And it's just every step of the way, it's just been like, wow, let's see what happens if we do this. And okay, now I can hire a couple more people to help me out in the kitchen. And oh, wow, we just, like, grew another, you know, 25%. Well, let's keep going. And so it's just been constantly, like, trying to keep up with the growth of it. It's been really phenomenal, you know? So
I look at I'm one of those I have an econ degree, but I'm one of those pickup artists where I look at, when I go to a restaurant, I'm looking for shit to talk about. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I look at the walls, I look at the fucking service. I'm one of those assholes, but I keep it to myself. I just always think about, if I had a restaurant, what would I do different? And let me tell you what you're doing correctly. Number one, I know what I'm getting when I buy your product.
Yeah.
Like I said, the big knock to this industry was, you know, with the cookies and the edibles, where you didn't know where it was going. And yeah, you have the other side of the knock, where people want the bread strips and everybody wants to be fucking cool. And this guy, well, I got a scent, I got a lollipop. Who gives a fuck? I want to see the devil. You follow me? I'm 50. When I work out and my back hurts and my muscles ache, you know, and I don't want to eat a lettuce fucking sandwich or something, you know, THC helps take the acidity out of your muscles. So I know before I go to bed, if I eat a four pack of your Auntie Dolores mint chocolate chip, for example, the chocolate mint that you turned me on to, which I'm showing a bag right now on the camera, it comes with four of those in there at 55 grams a piece, right? 55 milligrams.
About 55 milligrams per brownie.
The normal, normal person.
20 for the bag.
Yeah, like the normal person, like Lee. I'm a fucking gorilla, so I could eat all four of them. I've done it before. But like Lee, all you need is one 50 milligram, and you're going to sleep. You're going to wake up. You're going to feel a lot better, Lee.
I had three kernels of the popcorn, and I'm already feeling it.
Oh, yeah, Lee's not a big smoker or nothing. So I'll fuck this motherfucker up. He'll call me this afternoon and tell me how his body was vibrating all night and shit like that. So he's my official tester. He's like my little young Frankenstein. I love him to death.
I have a quick question for you. We always hear about, like, the dispensaries that are getting closed. You're not a dispenser. You're not selling it yourself. You're like a producer. How is all this stuff affecting you?
Well, the first part of your question I didn't hear. Could you repeat that?
Well, in the news you always hear about, especially down here, about dispensaries getting closed by the federal government, but you're not a dispenser, you're producing it for them. Does that affect you in any way, or?
Well, I mean, we are a legal cooperative, so we're set up like a dispensary, but we don't have a brick-and-mortar shop. We've got a kitchen, which is, you know, in a confidential space, so, like, nobody knows where we're located, and the reason why is because we could get raided by the feds just like any other dispensary could, you know? but yeah, we operate, we're totally undercover. We have to be. It's ridiculous, but it's how it is. And, as far as what's going on in LA, I mean, clubs are going to get closed left and right down there, but you know what? They're always going to open up down the street 2 weeks later because there's just zero regulations down there. So, I mean, it's happening all over California. You guys hear about it because you're in L.A., but really what how it looks to us, because we're dealing with all these clubs all over California, is like there's just pockets in different areas that get hit, and there's always going to be that until we can reschedule cannabis properly so that it's no longer a Schedule One narcotic. And and once that happens, the whole industry is going to change. So hopefully we'll see less closures, less raids, and all that stuff, because it's just a big waste of money, resources, and time, and you know.
Yeah, and I know I know you probably can't give exact numbers, but for someone like you, how in a ballpark, how much money do you think you're paying in taxes to the state? And that it, if this was more legal, we'd be making more. Like, how much money do you think you're giving to the state every month or year or something
well,
like that?
Well, all of our employees are on payroll, so we operate just like any other legal business. I mean, everything that we do is just like any other company. The only part about it that's different is we're way more discreet about where we're located and stuff. But as far as a business goes, like we've got federal tax ID number, we pay sales tax, everything, just like any other business. Whether or not the biggest difference would be, like, suppose cannabis was rescheduled and this, you know, the gates open up and a company like ours, we would be able to operate, you know, serving all of California, not just medical cannabis patients, but anybody. I still think that there's going to be some red tape because, I mean, we're a food company, but it's also medicine, right? But part of the problem is legally we don't fit into the food category. We don't fit into the medicine category because we're a little bit of both. And so, like, once the FDA gets involved with that process, it could really change things, and I don't know what that means. But right now, we kind of operate in this gray area. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it is what it is. And
but you're paying taxes?
There's not a lot of black and white laws around this stuff at all.
And you're paying taxes, Julia. So that's the big...
Yeah.
You're showing up with a fucking envelope. It's not like you're running some fucking... it's not like you're hanging out with Blanco on the corner. You know, you have a legitimate business.
But we're getting treated like that. We still have to live like criminals. I mean, that's the sad part about it. It's like, here we are. We're employing people, right? We're creating jobs. We're creating a product that's helpful to thousands and thousands of people in California, okay? Yet, I could be thrown in jail tomorrow. I mean, it's asinine, but that's the reality of it. It's not 100% legal what's happening here, and that's wrong, but it is what it is, you know?
You know, I always talk about what's going on in the country right now, with people losing their jobs and people are tapping out, and, you know, I got to really applaud you, man. What you've done is tremendous. And we talk about this all the time, that in this part of, right now, in this part of your life, you can't get a job, unemployment runs out. You might as well do what you love doing. And
yeah,
hopefully it
right.
goes in the right direction because you're doing it out of love. And I really applaud the hell out of you. I didn't even know that part of your business. I thought you were doing this, you know, like everybody else, but you're doing this because things got bad in your normal life, and you said, fuck it. If you're walking on ice, you might as well dance, you know?
Hey, man, when you hit rock bottom, there's nowhere else to go but up, and I've been really lucky, really blessed.
I'm really, really proud of you and the story there. I didn't even know that. I just really love your products, man.
That's awesome. Well, I've got people that work with me now that, you know, they come from backgrounds where they maybe like were on a sales team at a really successful business. They lost their job and they're like, shit, I got nowhere else to go but the cannabis industry, because really this is the only industry right now where A, I can even get a job that I'm going to be able to keep. And, you know, the money's pretty decent. And, you know, compared to a lot of other industries, it's actually thriving, you know, whereas you see all this other stuff going on out there. People are losing their businesses left and right and their jobs and everything. I mean, there's really no financial security in the world right now. And yet this cannabis industry, it's like it's just blooming. It's just like, it's like the plant itself. It's not going to stop growing just because we, you know, want to put all these rules around it. All we got to do is step out of the way and let this shit take off, because it is changing the world, and it's definitely changing California, you know. But
I'm really proud of you.
There's a lot of...
No, and your business, listen, you know, we're goofing around here and I fuck around a lot, but I met you because you were doing a product demo. You know, you go to Costco and on a Saturday and you walk out of there and you're fucking full because you've had sausage, you've had cheese, you've had toast, you had lemonade, coconut milk, you know, everybody's giving out samples. That's big business type thing. And you didn't have to do that. You could have been at home counting 20s and playing video games, but you took a chance. You live up in Northern California, wherever the hell you live. You came down to a store that's been selling your product, and they do a great job of, you know, it's on the board there and stuff. I mean, they refer your products all the time. And like I said, I go in and out, and ever since I started, I met you, and I saw what you were doing. I've just been with your products lately. I don't even go to the fucking Bang, those miserable motherfuckers. You know, they don't return nothing. They don't return calls. They're late with their supply. Every time I go into Divine Wellness, your stuff is there. And Ari can't say enough, you know, talk enough praises about you, man. So thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you for what, I mean, this call.
Yeah, we love getting the chance to talk to the patients directly because, you know, I mean, we provide a lot of information on our website and everything, but nothing replaces, you know, being able to talk with the people directly. And because we work with the clubs directly, we don't always get that chance to talk with the patients directly, so that's always great.
And what is your website?
I love meeting folks like you, and especially when I go to L.A., I mean, there's so many dynamic, interesting people that go to clubs down there.
Oh, yeah, they really are.
Never a dull moment, man.
No. You see some fucking beauties. You do see some, it's like going to OTB in New York City. You see some fucking beauties, my friend.
Hey, I got a question. A comment I just want to put out there. Because we are a legal cooperative, anybody who's a California medical cannabis patient can become a member of our cooperative. And all you have to do is go to our website. There's a community tab which has membership information. So just if you could let your folks know that would be
great. What's your website?
What's that?
What's the website?
The website... It's at www.AuntieDolores.com.
www.AuntieDolores.com. I love it.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. I love that you gave me a lot of info today. Lee, don't touch the fucking brownies. Look at him. Now he's looking. Now he's interested. Before, he's talking about how he's going to not be able to go to work at 7 o'clock tonight. You know, I love what you're doing. I'm very proud of you, and I'm happy that you called. And you're family now. You're an official... unofficial sponsor. You can call whenever you want and let us know. Any new products you have coming up? Look at it. I told you. Superbad's eating the fucking popcorn. I knew it. Get out of there, cocksucker. Superbad's eating the popcorn. You know why? He needs some fucking weed popcorn.
The mint chip brownie is like our newest product.
That's what Lee's got in his hand right now.
We went with the lower potency on that because we're hoping that folks would, like, buy it and maybe bring it to a Christmas party and share it with their friends, or, you know, it's a great gift item and whatnot. But we didn't want to pack those with those 100-bite brownies because, you know, not just anybody should be throwing back 100 milligrams of medicine. It's definitely not for everybody, but that's why we've got this wide range of potency levels with our products because, you know, folks that have a low tolerance want to stick with the 5X brownies, and then most people want the stronger stuff, so we got something for everybody. But those mint chip brownies, eventually we'll probably sell them individually, but that wouldn't be till, you know, probably February or March.
I had a 100 milligram bite the other day, the black and blue, because you have like the just black package is 180 also?
What, 112.
112, and then the one under it is 100, and then I think there's like a 75 or something. I usually dabble with the 100 and the 120. I like that one. I had the cookie on a plane one time. I thought I was going to have a fucking heart attack. How many milligrams of the cheese cracker?
Well, there's 180 in the package, so it's like 90 per
cracker. I was on one of those like JetBlue fucking flights where they sell you the cheese and crackers. Like, you actually buy them like Caesar. You're on there like Julius Caesar eating grapes and cheese and cracker. And all of a sudden, I popped your fucking cracker. And that plane started spinning, Jack. And they had like a, what is that? Like a satellite radio on the flight. I'll never forget. And they had the disco one. And it was throwing heat. They had like Boogie Oogie Oogie and all that shit. And that stewardess told me to take those things off. I told her, fuck you. Circle around for another hour. I'm throwing heat up here with this cheese cookie.
But
I love you, Julian. Awesome. I'm happy you called. What else? Ask her, Lee.
Julian, before we let you go, I was just looking at the mint cookies. And I was noticing that there's nothing. It's all really good ingredients in it. It's only like weed, flour, butter, sugar, milk. Like, there's no preservatives or anything like that. Is that was that a choice, or why? Like, it's great that it's all natural, but like, why? Because if you got a mint brownie somewhere else, you wouldn't be able to pronounce anything in it.
Well, here's the thing: if you can believe it, that brownie that you got in your hand. Let me ask you, where did you get that from?
Divine Wellness.
Okay, those guys order every week from us. So that brownie that you got in your hand, even though you're sitting in Los Angeles, that was probably made in the last 10 days.
Okay? Oh, yeah, it's fresh as hell. It's fresh. I already had one this morning for breakfast. It's fresh as a motherfucker.
It's fresh as a motherfucker. All our stuff sells out every week, so we actually don't need to put preservatives in it because everybody that buys our products knows, pop it in your freezer, it'll keep for over a year, okay, because our stuff freezes really well. We don't develop products that aren't going to withstand, you know, storage and that kind of thing, because we want people to be able to purchase the product, take it home, and consume it that day if they feel like it. But if they want to wait 3 months, all they got to do is pop it in their freezer. And our stuff will last for over a year. So it doesn't need preservatives, really. And all our ingredients are high quality. The cannabis is all high quality. Most of our medicine is grown outdoor, organic. Not all of it. I'm not going to say it's 100% organic. It's almost impossible to grow organic weeds. Everybody knows that. But outdoor, you got a little more opportunity for that. Most of the product that we use is outdoor. So, it's just all good quality stuff.
I tell you, I ate that little brownie before breakfast with some caramel corn. It's starting to rock in this motherfucker right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and always on an empty stomach, you know. Oh. I mean, it always works better before you eat. I think we were talking yesterday about
going to yoga and shit like
working
that.
Working out when you're medicated and how great that can be. I love that, too. I usually get medicated before yoga class. I feel like I can hold these yoga poses for, like, 20 hours if I feel like it when I'm medicated, because it's an analgesic, you know. It's like, if you're feeling any kind of pain and you're medicated, it's going to be a lot less pronounced. So if you're working out and you're like, oh, man, this is kicking my ass. But, you know, when you're medicated, you can work out longer. And when you're doing yoga, you can hold these poses longer because you can do more without having that pain kick in. So
that's why I love you. No, we're both on the same. I love going to yoga. I love lifting weights, going to kickboxing. You forget you're even fucking there. You eat one of these. You eat some of this caramel corn. You go throw some sidekicks for Jesus. After 10 minutes, you're covered in sweat, and you're like, "What am I doing here? I don't even know who drove me here. I don't even know how I got here. Where's my skateboard?" I love you. Have a great week. Have a merry, merry Christmas. All right. And if you ever come to this side of town again, you got my number. Call me, and I'll meet you at Divine Wellness, and we'll shoot the shit. I love you. Thank you very much for what
Sounds
you do.
Good. Thanks, Joey.
Thank you,
my love. Good talking to you guys.
Have a great week. Merry Christmas.
Take care.
Go to AntiDolores.com right now. That is some heavy duty shit. I'm telling you guys, this is, you don't know how lucky we are that we have Auntie Dolores. I think fucking
it's great. It's AuntieDolores.
What was that?
The website, just how you spell it. Oh shit.
You're gonna break the fucking popcorn again, cocksucker. This is what I'm talking about here.
You're the one who wanted to get me high. But it's great talking to her, and when she said that she almost lost her job, or like was losing clients and had to support her kid, and it's like you never stop working, and she could have very easily like gone on unemployment and gotten welfare for her kid, but she has a business that's making probably $100,000, like hundreds of thousands of dollars for the government, or I don't know how much, but a good amount of money for the government.
Don't worry about the money.
Like, no, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying, like, she...
Overheat the caramel corn. By the way, you gotta be a fucking half a Puerto Rican Jew. You gotta throw numbers at me. Then you're gonna alert her. She makes a great product.
Yeah, let's hope.
What's up, cocksucker?
Nothing. Fucking, you want to get me high and you have to deal with the consequences now.
No, I love it. Bro, you busted it. You asked her with some great fucking questions. But I don't want you to start talking about dough and then get the feds all fucking riled up. And next thing you know, they're looking into her stuff because we're talking about dollars and she pays taxes and everything's on the level. I'll tell you, man, like I said, I've been eating edibles for years. For years. And I've seen them come and go. People have contacted me and said, we're thinking of putting together an edible company. And I've talked them out of it. Because I know what it takes. I know how much marijuana it takes. Unless you're growing it, you're, you know, taking the good stuff, selling it, and then taking the leaves and the shake and the stems and grinding it down and using it for whatever, you can't buy the shake to sell the stuff. It has to be a part of a cycle. Like Escobar, he was using the blow for this, that, the whole... What are you spitting me for, Doug? You know what I'm saying? But I'm proud that this is what we talk about. If things are bad right now, you don't have a job, you gotta go dig deep. Yeah. And maybe it's what you love that's right in front of you. So sometimes you're like, fuck, I'm happy I lost my job, you know, dancing in a peep show because my career was going fucking nowhere. What kind of music you got for me? Give me some music. You
want to do music?
Okay. Yeah, you got Rick James from Uncle Joey?
Yeah.
I thought you said you had Rick James. James, the fucking Temptations. Again, for my favorite brother, Leroy Neckbone out there. I didn't even finish the shout outs. Because that's how I roll here. Justin Delgado, Cosmic Kev, David Pires, Dante Morgan, Will Brown, RJ Strachio, and your fucking nephew. I love you. Happy birthday, cocksucker. John Henson, I don't fucking know. Tarek, always my little fucking favorite lesbian. Mark Hard with that little flat fucking monkey. And what else? What else you want to talk about, Lee? It's Wednesday. I'm fucked up on this popcorn. It's 7:05 in the a.m. I got the poster Stephen Mashinowitz made for me. Where's the music? We hit it. Oh shit. Go, Lee. What? Dance bump for Joey, Lee. Hit it, Lee. Kick it. Louder, Lee. This is how we got an elite system here. I want them to hear the fucking trumpets. Oh shit. Rick James, The Temptations. Here you go, brother. Oh shit, Lee. It's coming. Oh shit. I'm fucked up, guys. Wednesday, December 19th. Start your fucking week off right, Uncle Joey. Oh shit. Since Lee. Hit Lee. Standing on the top. Huh. Oh shit. Boogie woogie, motherfuckers. Go. Top on the top. Goalie. Oh, my goodness. Lower that motherfucker. I love you guys, man. Thank you for being a part of church and what's happening now every day and putting it together. I was telling Lee the other day that I didn't write it down. Somebody sent an email to joeycocodiaz.net asking me that, you know, I always talk about movies or whatever. Why don't I ever fucking talk about what inspires me? And all the movies and the music I play, like when I'm in the gym and I'm stoned, I listen to Standing on the Top. I think about Rick James and the addiction, what it must have felt like, and I cry. I get emotional. I think of Rick. I really do, man. I feel his fucking music.
Emotional?
Oh, fuck yeah. And I think about, what are you laughing at? You don't think like, I cry? I always fucking cry, dog. I always get emotional. That's what I'm all about, motherfuckers. The passion. Like Rod Stewart in 84. It's passion. I'm back. Like Gloria Gaynor's boyfriend from outer space, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm fucked up. Anyway.
The stuff that motivates you.
Stop, Leah. You're my little dog here. You know what motivates me? You motivate me, cocksucker. To be honest with you, you inspire me. But what really inspires me, like, in 1974, I used to hang out in this Puerto Rican neighborhood, Union City, New Jersey, around the corner. Because my mother had a bar on 29th Street, but on 26th Street, that was Puerto Ricans in Central Avenue. They went, I forget the school, you go to Washington or one of those. And I knew this kid, Julio, who teaches jiu-jitsu now in North Bergen. But his brother and my mother, they used to run numbers together. And he took me to this dude's house, Doom Buggy, one day. He was all fucked up on heroin. Right? We're like in the seventh fucking grade. And went to this guy's house on a Sunday. Fucking, he's doing heroin. And we're listening to, you know, whatever, the Beach Boys, whatever the fuck we're listening to, thinking we're cool. And he's like, nah, take that album off. And he put on Richard Pryor album, right? And we're sitting there, and I tell you what, you know, I had been from New York City. I had cursed and stuff, and my mother used to curse and all the bullshit. And Ryan Brock, fucking from Memphis, and you know, I knew about drugs and what was going on, and I heard curse words and shit. But he threw this album on, hit it, Lee, and my head almost blew up when I fucking heard this.
Winos deal with it, though, right? Winos never get afraid of nothing but running out of wine. That's the only thing that panic a wino. Wino could deal with Dracula. Right, anyway. Hey, man! Say, nigga, you with the cake! What you doing picking in them people's window? What's your name, boy? Dracula? What kind of name is that for a nigga? Where you from, fool? Transylvania. I know where it is, nigga. You ain't the smartest motherfucker in the world, you know. Even though you is the ugliest. Oh, yeah, you ugly motherfucker. Why don't you get your teeth fixed, nigga? That shit hanging all out your mouth. Why don't you go get you an orthodontist?
That's a dentist.
That's a dentist, you know, huh? It's 1975, boy. Get your shit together. What's wrong with your natural? Got that dirt all on the back of your neck.
He's a filthy little motherfucker,
He's
too.
He's a filthy little motherfucker, too. You got to be home before the sun come up. You ain't lying, motherfucker. See your ass in the day, you gotta get arrested. You wanna suck what? Suck some black niggas.
Cut it after that. That was it. I heard that, and that was it. Bruce Lee was dead by that time. You know, the Chinese in me was done. I was still going to karate, but I needed some direction. And I heard that. And I'll tell you, I ran home and borrowed whatever it was, $9. And then he came out with Bicentennial Nigga. And I had all those albums, and we'll go over those. And then years later, I don't know what the fuck. I was watching something on TV one night. What was it about? This is when I was into the Honeymooners and shit. And I was watching something. This is when they had three channels, Lee. And they were talking something about Lenny Bruce. And I don't know. I asked people about him. Is somebody calling up or something?
No.
Oh, I see you fucking playing DJ.
No, I'm getting ready for the fucking...
Oh, so I didn't know who fucking Lenny Bruce was. I had no idea, you know. And when I got locked up, when I went to prison, I read Ladies and Gentlemen and Meet Lenny Bruce, whatever the fucking book. And I was blown the fuck away. And the first thing I did when I got out of prison was I went to this video store in Boulder that had three floors on 28th Street. And I got everything on Lenny Bruce. And one of the things they had, stop, we keep knocking over this popcorn, cocksucker.
Put the that was you up. That time.
No. It was you, cocksucker. Knocking on my popcorn. I got nothing left. No, Auntie Dolores is dead. She tapped out the popcorn. I got to eat fucking chocolate brownies now. They're delicious, though, these things. You want one?
No.
Eat half on camera with Uncle Joey. Let's get the day started, right?
I'll be on your couch the rest of the day.
No, you ain't staying on no fucking couch. I got shit to do. I already got a pregnant wife. I got everybody sitting around. You, the cats, and her. I can't take it. I'm like De Niro and Goodfellas. I can't do it. So... hit that Lenny fucking Bruce. Now, before you turn this on, I want you young guys to remember something. If you're 20, 30, this is 1962, guys.
Yeah, the video's in black and white.
The video's in black and white. And I used to hate black and white when I was young. When I was 20, if you showed me something in black and white, I'd say, get that shit away from all that old shit. But you learn a lot from black and white shit. Listen to Lenny fucking Bruce.
And you want
to
set up what he's doing with the mic?
Yeah, he opens up with this thing. Like, when you go to Catholic Church, how you come up and throw the smoke like that, like you throw it out, like the holy water. That's what he's opening up with. So hit it, Lee.
You know, I like to do that because it's classic illustration in the eye of the beholder. Because I watch the people, when they get a lot of rejection, I assume that there's a lot of Jews out here who don't know what I'm doing, think I'm trying to hit them. Or perhaps there's a lot of quasi-Catholics, missionary-trained Catholics who
missionary-trained
the Catholicism and think that Catholics worship statues and symbols. They were hassling, understand this, a mime group were doing their act in the park, and they didn't have a certificate, and they got busted, and some freedom of speech issue. Well, I think they missed one point. They were doing their act in front of the Catholic Church, and, see, on stage... In other words, a stripper in a burlesque house on stage goes, here it is, boys, da-da-da, it's cool. But let her do that in a public park on the way home and her ass is in jail. The reason for that is that the people in the park didn't ask for that. In other words, you can yell fire in a crowded theater if you're on stage, but don't do it off stage. The theater is make-believe, that's where it's at.
You understand how crazy that shit he's talking is? That's crazy fucking talk, but I love that shit. That's what I was trying to aspire to be. I was trying to be something between Richard Pryor and this fucking nut. And then George Carlin came in there, fucked up my whole mindset. But this guy, this fucking crazy Jew, I love him with all my heart. You do know that. That's the only way I wanted to go. When Jews go off the reservation, dog, they fucking go off the reservation.
That's the next title of your next album. When Jews go off the reservation.
Jews off the reservation. Let me tell you something. When Jews go off the reservation, they go deep, dog. They start dating Puerto Rican women and eating black ass and shooting heroin and becoming jazz musicians. They go deep, like the guy Larry Harlow from the Fonny All Stars. You know, fucking. In fact, let's put a little fucking Spanish music on to close off this show today. I got nothing else to give you people. I took you to the hoop with Lenny Bruce. I took you to the hoop. How about a Fonny All Stars? I'm trying to figure it out. A little Fonny All Stars, Ana Kaona. ANA. Press ANA and
okay.
See what comes up. It's like a live footage.
Ana, yeah, I got it.
Hit it for these fucking savages. Hold on before you hit it. I love you, motherfuckers. There's 6 more days left before the holidays. Do the right thing. Go out there, you know, send some cards, shake some hands, lick some assholes. Do what you need to do to cover the spread. The flying Jew is here. Remember, before, even if you go on vacation, take your Onnit with you on vacation. Go to Onnit.com and get your little travel pack together. Get the protein shakes. You can at least have one protein shake and feel better about yourself when you're eating the rest of that shit your mother's making for you. Take your Strong Bone. So after you eat, you go for a little walk around the neighborhood. I don't care how fucking cold it is. You put your thermal on. You need to fucking cook up a number. You smoke a number. You put a fucking iPod on. You could walk from your house to the fucking moon. You understand me? I've done it before. I've walked to the moon and back. Fucking smoking reefer, listening to, you know, Rod Stewart, 84, whatever, with the faces. What else was I going to tell you, cocksuckers? I'm sorry, I got allergies and I don't have no medication. I got to call. Look at this motherfucking guy over here. This cat over here driving me crazy. Finny, I love you, cocksucker. Hug your cat. It's National Hug Your Cat and Dog Day. Feed them, brush them, do something nice for your fucking animal today. They're sitting there like a bunch of mutts. It's a week before Christmas. In fact, oh, shut up, Finny. I got you. You're not even SAG this month. I didn't pay your bill. Go fuck yourself too, cocksucker. The cat's over here arguing with me like I don't know what I'm fucking talking about here. Go to Onnit and get your package together. Get a little travel pack. Get your workout going. Why wait till the 31st? Don't fuck around. Start now. Ralphie May already dropped 2,000 fucking pounds. When you see Ralphie next time, he's going to look like a fucking x-ray. So lead by example, Ralphie. That's why I'm happy. Called in today. I want to thank Juliana from fucking AntiDolores.com. I want to thank my man Lee Syatt. We're going to come back Sunday. We don't know yet.
Yeah, whatever. We'll
Sunday, because we can't do one Wednesday, all right? Lee's leaving on Christmas Day. He's flying out the 25th like any good Jew. He caught the early $99 bring your yarmulke flight with you. He's got to show up with a yarmulke and a passport. They're going to smell him to see if he's got gunpowder on him. It's going to be beautiful for the $89.
They're going to smell me?
Sure, they're going to smell. And by that time, the fart will be drifting off, so you'll be okay.
Oh, good.
That fart's going to be on you for 3 days like a cheap suit from Ross. So.
Oh, only...
I love you, cocksuck. I'm happy you do this with me every morning. You make me laugh. To all the motherfuckers on Twitter that give us love, to Red Band watching, to Joe Rogan, all you motherfuckers, happy Hanukkah to the Jews out there in the struggle. Put on a little finding also. Don't forget to go to Onnit, JoeyCocoDiaz.net. We got Testicle Testament for fucking the holidays. Everybody's been going and getting Where I Got My Balls From on payloads. Do your thing. I love you. Stay black. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Get the Christmas presents, and we'll talk Sunday and Monday, all right? I love you motherfuckers. Hit it, a little anaconda for these motherfuckers. Oh, shit. Larry Hall on the piano, the Flying Jew number one. Anaconda. This is the Final All-Stars. Yeah, this is the Final All-Stars 1971. The movie's called Our Latin Thing. We'll review it next week. Hit it!